Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, good afternoon, man. How's it going? Anything going on this week?
Not a huge amount this week, although I have been, in a very timely fashion, playing with some more AI tools.
Yes. So, I mean, there was a lot happening this week, but not like direct Apple related. And this episode is kind of going to be in that fashion of like, there is some Apple impact, but I was just at Google I.O. So I just got back yesterday. My first Google I.O., very different to WWDC, but that's a whole other conversation. But it's their, basically their WWDC. And then we also got this random drop of Johnny Ive and Sam Altman doing a thing together, which we'll talk about, you know, and I'm obviously anticipating that's going to be very AI heavy. But let's start with Google I.O. because I was hoping that there'd be like some Android stuff too. You know, that was like kind of the angle that we were going to do. And they announced a lot of Android stuff beforehand, and then they just completely neglected it. This is all stuff that you can get on iOS and Android, mostly having to do with Gemini. So did you get a chance to check out some of these new Gemini features?
I haven't tried them personally, but there was so much in here. And it's really interesting to see, actually, that there wasn't so much focus on Android. That wasn't really what I was expecting. But I suppose the AI space now is where stuff's happening. You know, these OSs have been around for such a long time now. They're pretty polished experiences. So I suppose it does make sense. And it's interesting as well that Google seems to be parking its tanks right on Apple's lawn with some features like personal context, which of course Apple hasn't been able to deliver just yet.
Yeah, that's kind of like just sticking the knife in a little bit. Yeah. You know, like, oh, hey, guess what we're doing with Google here? We're going to add some personal context. But like, that's the kind of stuff of the AI stuff that I enjoyed. I don't know that I really like a lot of the other stuff personally.
Really?
Or like, will use a lot of the other stuff. Like, okay, let's talk about like VO3, right?
Yeah.
Like that is cool. Kind of get worried about how that's going to be used. Not like it's going to take my job, but you know, there are AI bros out there constantly tweeting like, it's over. There's going to be full movies made using AI now. And I'm like, who would want that? That sounds awful. Like, you still need the human element. You still need actors. Where this becomes useful is that you can use it as like a tool, like any other piece of production equipment or editing software, virtual effects. It's a tool. It's not a complete replacement of things. So one of the things that they showcased with that was a director that worked alongside, I believe it was Aronofsky, correct? I don't know if you saw this part, but she worked on a film that she created where it was about, I believe, her and her like birth story for her daughter or child. I don't actually know. But basically, you know, that she wanted to use AI in the video generation to showcase some of the things that she obviously could not or didn't have footage of, you know, like the baby grabbing the finger of the mother. Like, that's stuff that is really cool, definitely paints the picture of storytelling, but doesn't completely replace. And then like getting in for like the cells transform, like, you know, like crazy things that obviously we just don't have footage of that's real. And it looks really good. And I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell that it's AI generated or just some really good graphic editor, you know? So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's fine. But like an entire movie made from AI, or like these people are saying like, here's Everything Everywhere All at Once. I gave it 10 seconds and now it recreated it and, you know, not for $9. And it's like, yeah, but it still had to train itself off of the thing that already existed. Like, it's not coming up with these ideas. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on that kind of stuff?
I think eventually we will get there with feature films that have been generated entirely with AI. I don't really see how we avoid that.
Ugh, that sounds all horrible, Hartley. That sounds horrible.
But I don't think we're there yet. And I think that to some extent, these issues will resolve themselves because people will always prefer things that have been made by actual human beings. And I think that strangely, We also have quite a good intuition for what is and is not AI generated, at least as a sort of collective. While it's easy for individuals to be fooled, it's like I can usually tell when text has been AI generated. Usually with images, you can tell when they've been AI generated. I think the same goes for video. And I think that for now, in its current incarnation, if, say, you were working on shorts for social media or just some promotional content for your small business or whatever it may be, and you need some B-roll, then I imagine that this sort of video generation tool would be incredibly useful. So I think it's impressive. And the way that these different services are starting to interoperate as well, where you can actually ask the chatbots to generate video or generate images as well. And it's more of an integrated experience that can pull on different things. You know, you can tell it to generate video from a PDF and some external information you may have. That's really useful. Yeah.
Especially for like corporations and stuff that want to make like videos and the people don't have, you know, you can use like a marketing deck or something and feed it into the prompts like that. That's fine. I'm just thinking like whole actual, I'm not going to the movies to watch an AI generated film. I can't wrap my brain around that. That doesn't sound fun to me. But who knows? I mean, maybe I'll come around to it, I guess, but I just don't know that I love that future for us. But what is cool, like from a tech standpoint, from a innovation standpoint, what is different and cool about VO3 is that it can now generate video with sound effects, with background noise, and with dialogue, which is something that we did not have in the previous generation. So that's really cool. And then I didn't really look too much into this, but I think Google also kind of made, is that what Imagen 4 is, where you can kind of, or no, there's another service that they came out with where it's like creating videos and like editing film and stuff like, or like editing content using this stuff is another tool that they made. And it's just, it's cool. I mean, it's expensive. If you want to use VO3, did you see the new plan?
Yeah. So what is it? $250.
$250 a month. I mean, that's not like, if this is something that you're using for your business, that's not that bad because there's tons of stuff that you can do with it. And there's, you know, but it's not unlimited credits of things that you can generate either though. But that's the AI Ultra plan. You also get 30 terabytes of storage, which is insane. That might just be worth the $250 a month alone, but
I guess so. Yeah.
And you get YouTube Premium. So that's, I don't know, I'd rather pay the $14 for that, but yeah, so that's kind of where we're at with those features. But the ones that we're going to be using and talking about more, let's touch on Google Search AI mode. I know this is kind of an iffy thing for us specifically because of, well, especially for you, because of the way MacRumors and other websites are run. Like, isn't this kind of scary that this is like, we are already nervous about the way like AI overview can impact us, because what do people do when they search now on Google? They read the overview. Where's that information coming from? You Google search, when's the next iPhone coming? It's pulling from MacRumors. It's pulling from other websites that do the same things that we do. And no one's clicking into it and reading that. And that takes away from the work that you guys do. Like, are you worried about AI mode making it even worse?
I am worried about that, but I don't really know how you avoid that.
We can't. Well, that's the thing.
But, and also, at some point, the relationship is reciprocal because websites like ours ultimately produce this information. That information is not going to be readily accessible for AI services to scrape unless we provide it. So at some point, the whole kind of internet ecosystem will collapse unless AI services actually support where they are scraping this information from.
So like, how does that get done? Does Google pay us a little bit in some way? That's kind of has to what they have to do, right?
I think eventually it's inevitable. I mean, even if you think of things like something as simple as recipes or even just other news of all different varieties. I mean, if no one visits any news sites at all, then where does the news come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we can't survive. No websites can survive.
And then there will be no news. So where does the AI service scrape it from? So I don't know how that's going to end up. But I think Google had to do this because I think Google knows that it is in danger, that traditional search does seem to be fading away. And it was interesting going back to what we were talking about last week that Eddie Q talked at these legal hearings about how Apple has noticed that Google search has dramatically reduced on its devices in favor of these other services like Perplexity or OpenAI's ChatGPT or whatever, because people are turning to that to ask queries to that they would otherwise have previously Googled, found a result, and then read that web page. And Google was the biggest player. So Google had to do this for its for that part of its business to survive. Otherwise, it risked getting left behind.
Yeah. So, I mean, what's going to need to happen is a lot of these websites like our any website that's ad-based revenue that needs these visits are going to need to weather out the storm, and eventually it'll come back and we'll be taken care of again. Hopefully. That's kind of where I'm at.
I think my position also is that if you're offering good enough content, there will always be people that want more than an AI summary. And in my experience, AI services tend to not scrape detail very well when it is about something that is relatively obscure. So if you're asking it a science question, you know, you're doing your college assignment or something, and you need it to have information about that, it will be quite accurate because it's basing that off thousands of items that it has scraped, if not tens of thousands. Whereas if you're asking something about the next iPhone, how much information is there really about that? Not a huge amount.
Like from AI or from us? Because we have tons of information.
From AI, but I'm saying comparatively, if we compare how much information there is about the iPhone 17's camera upgrades to a scientific principle, it's not even close. And that means that the AI service, in my experience, whatever it may be, gets quite confused about those kinds of questions. It's like if you ask ChatGPT about what the next iPhone will have, it will say to you something like, oh, the iPhone 16 is rumored to have a camera control button.
Well, let's do it right now. I have it right in front of me. What features will the next iPhone have? Searching the web. And you know how it shows the icons? Yeah. The first icon is Mac Rumors. I'm not tooting our own horn here, but Hartley, I'm a little concerned. It's actually pulling. It says, as of May of 2025, Apple has not officially announced the iPhone 17. However, based on previous release patterns, it's not giving you much. Just it'll be introduced in September. Features remain unconfirmed. Enhancements in performance. And it's no detail. But if you click on sources, oh, look at that. Mac Rumors. Forum for Mac Rumors. And then Apple.com for the iPhone 16. So you're right. It is just pulling.
And I find it doesn't tend to really understand the differences between the present device and the future device. And it starts to speculate rather than use information that is sourced. So it will say things like, iPhones are normally faster with each model, so the next iPhone will be faster. That isn't really helping you understand. So eventually, yes, this will be potentially a little bit more of an issue as it gets even better at scraping and comprehension. But as it stands today, with slightly more niche topics, it's not quite there. But the fact is that for a lot of very basic search queries, it is excellent. And these AI services are fantastic and actually better than normal search. I think also for me, when it comes to different websites, this is a little bit of a tangent, but it's worth considering. If a website singularly is only packaging that information and has nothing else to offer, then I think they're in a more tenuous position. But I think for a website like ours that has such a strong community as well, and people really want to dive into the detail, people really want to understand the day-to-day developments of the rumor cycles, AI really can't compete with offering any of those sorts of things.
So what Hartley is trying to say is thank you to everyone that reads and to everyone that listens. And I also want to say thank you to everyone that watches. We are providing you free content 24/7. And all we need you to do is just keep being interested if you can. Throw a little like every once in a while, you know, review the podcast if you haven't. You know, let us know how we're doing. But would you guys all definitely let us know how we're doing in the comments? We already know. also, fun fact, they pulled my YouTube video for one of these, which is hilarious.
Why was that?
I ChatGPT pulled it as one of the sources.
Oh.
Which is funny. Yeah. And it wasn't an iPhone 17 video, by the way. It was about the 16. So you're very much correct in the sense that it's not quite there yet. But I've replaced my action button with ChatGPT. I know that it's integrated into the OS, but you have to go through Siri first.
And it's
annoying. No, it's annoying. So I just go right to that with, you know, it just makes more sense to me.
But Apple is embracing AI search. So one of the things that is rumored for a future version of iOS is the ability to actually switch from Google as the default search in Safari to an AI service. And presumably Google's AI Great. Search mode is going to be one of those. Apple's already in talks with Perplexity about that. And to go back to Gemini, which was really the focus of Google I/O this year, we are actually expecting Gemini to be offered as an option in iOS 19. So in the same way that right now you have to enable ChatGPT integration for Apple Intelligence, Gemini will be added. So you can choose between ChatGPT and Gemini, which is great. I mean, personally, I find it pretty confusing to understand whether I even want to use Gemini or ChatGPT.
I think why? What do you mean? How do you find
it? I don't fully understand the differences of what I'm receiving. They both seem to do effectively the same thing.
They do, but where Google and Gemini, in my opinion, I was just about to say, I would rather switch to that because you use Chrome, you use Google Drive. I'm just, not you personally, but people. You use all of these things, Gmail. You use all of these services that are made from Google. And now Gemini, one of the biggest updates is that it's just way more integrated across all of these platforms. So to me, that's where I find it to be more useful. Yes, ChatGPT is a great standalone app, but now I'm in my browser. I'm using Google Chrome and I can search about the information using Gemini and it reads my tabs and it knows what I'm doing and it can pull from Drive, Google Keep, Google Calendar, Google Note, or Gmail. It can do all of that stuff without me having to train it or relay what my information is. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is where the privacy and all that concerns come in, but like, whatever. If you're just diving into this like everyone else is, you're stripping that from your mind. I'd rather at this point, if I'm going to do this, I'm doing it right, and I want all my stuff to be integrated so that I don't have to like bounce around between different apps. So personally, I would much rather use Gemini. Or if Apple ever came out with their own version, then I would rather use that because I use all of those services. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. I can foresee myself being incredibly concerned about if I switch everything over to Google and then Apple Intelligence actually gets quite good.
To switch again. You know, I don't know. I'm effectively using Google apps and Apple apps at the same time. I mean, our thing runs off Gmail. So you have, I don't love the Gmail app, but I do love the Gmail like web client. I think it's really nice. I wish there was like a standalone app for that. Is there a standalone? There's no standalone Mac app, right? There never has been. There's always been people that make it. Which, by the way, Google Inbox, remember that app that came out a while ago? Shout out. I loved that app. And then it just got dumped. Anyway, off topic. But yeah. So all of this stuff's going to be implemented. So Gemini is going to be in Chrome. We'll have this AI mode in Google search so that it, which by the way, we didn't even talk about what AI mode is. Sorry about that. What AI mode does is basically you'll click into that when you decide to search. It's its own separate thing. And you can ask questions that are far more advanced than just being like, what is, you know, a restaurant nearby that I should go to. It's going to be like, what is a restaurant that I can go that can fit 8 people comfortably? I want the vibes to be immaculate. I want it to be, you know, under this price point with this type of food. And you can put all of these different things and it'll break down difference. It'll actually search in different ways, right? Doesn't it break it down into like multiple searches, but then gives you all of that information in one?
Yes, that's my understanding. And that also links to what they call agent mode as well, where it can actually go out and actively make buying decisions for you and collate information about, say, if you're looking for flights or something like that, it can actually go and compare those in detail in real time.
I believe the example they used was concert tickets. And as somebody who goes to quite a lot of shows in my life, that is super helpful. So I can just ask it, you know, I want to go see this band in this location. Can you find me 2 tickets, you know, kind of in this area, like floor seats or whatever? Be as specific as you want. And then it'll break it all down. And then basically it's supposed to make the purchases for you, right? I tried it out and it can't do that yet. So I think some of it's kind of like not available fully, but right now it can take me to the app, but like I want it to go in and just do it for me, like have my stuff paid for and just take care of it, you know, on its own. But that was my understanding. You know, they kind of went through a lot of AI stuff. There was a lot to process. So that's AI mode. Gemini and Chrome is just Gemini being handily available in Chrome. And just, you can search through your, you know, it understands what you're looking at already, reads your tabs, all of that. Gemini Live is the interesting thing. That is available now, and that is available on your iPhone if you want. So you just download the Google app or Gemini app. And that was a weird noise. You can basically use, I think that was the, like, what is it? The AirTag noise.
Oh yeah.
Like someone's trying to locate something. I don't know why that just went off. But anyways, you can use Gemini Live and pull up your phone and, you know, ask it what you're looking at or read your screen. It can screen share and, you know, have you read like a manual and help you put things together and just like showcase what it is that you're looking at and figure out ways to help you by using your phone's camera, which is kind of cool. So one of the scenarios that I've seen was like a sweater that had a stitch that was like messed up. And it was like, hey, can you tell me how to do this? And it would explain exactly how to do it. And you can be like, oh, I have these tools. Which one should I use? It's just super helpful. That's the kind of stuff. I believe in one of the things that they showcased was like, how do I, put this bike together? I mean, Lord knows if we can help this thing help me with IKEA furniture, that would be great too. What were your thoughts on Gemini Live?
I think that it's one of these features that is laying the groundwork for the future. And this kind of links to what was shown a little bit later with Android experiences in so-called extended reality. That is because it's almost like a really beefed up version of visual intelligence where you can point it at anything. And it can provide you with detailed information about that. And it's because it seems to have this live view, it extends a little bit further than just snapping a picture of something and telling you what it is.
Yeah. Let's kind of jump into some of that here in a sec, but that's live mode. And then personal context real quick. I just want to touch on that. That's the ability to, so they showcase this with Gmail. And that's where I'm thinking this is the stuff that's kind of cool. I've used Shortwave app. I love that email app. I've said this before. That already kind of does the same thing where it kind of goes through all of your emails and figures out how you write and what your writing style is and then can write an email or a response back to somebody based on how you write. And it's pretty good. I'd say it's like 85 to 90% accurate. It looks like Gmail is obviously trying to get a little bit more than that and be 100% accurate to how you respond. And so they showcase like Sundar's like response. He would usually just not respond or like a one word. This was like three full paragraphs and like, I think it was hiking recommendations or something. And it just gives way more detail and it speaks the way you would speak. If you use a word a lot, it's going to use that word. And so it's something that, you know, people would basically say, oh, I don't think that's AI responding, hopefully. Who knows? Maybe it'll have a tag associated with it. It's like generated by Gemini. It'll rat you out. But that's the personal context, which I think is more useful. You can probably agree with me on that. That's something that everybody would like. But I wanted to jump in real quick because I don't want this episode to be too long. We have a couple other things that are major. The Android XR update. So we saw the headset a while ago. I think MKBHD did a full video on the headset. Looks awfully like Vision OS with their software. That headset's apparently going to be available later this year. That was officially announced. We don't exactly know when, but it is coming this year. And then they did showcase Android XR for glasses. And so this was what we were talking about with the basically augmented reality type glasses where you can walk around, you have Gemini built into your head, basically, and it can look and tell you what it is that you're seeing and give you things. There were two people speaking different languages on stage, and it was translating the languages. One was speaking one was speaking a different one, and it would show you in English, here's what they're saying. And that's like super useful things. And then you get turn by turn directions in your eyes. The one thing that was kind of funny was like, why are they putting everything directly in the center? Like the most annoying spot. I wonder if that was just the demo because it was just a smaller display. just being weird. But yeah, it was kind of intrusive. But what were your thoughts on Android XR? This is kind of what we were hoping that Apple would be doing and apparently might be doing still.
I think it's interesting that they've directly associated this with headset products, because Apple's obviously been very reluctant to even acknowledge these sorts of glasses products that we've seen from Meta and Orion. But this is effectively the same platform. And I think the Meta Ray-Bans have been so popular unexpectedly and deliver a pretty good experience at everything they try to do. It just doesn't have the ecosystem. And yet they still sell really well. So
it doesn't have Google, the visual. It doesn't have the visual portion.
But Orion does.
Yes.
And supposedly Apple is now interested in delivering such a product. So we are expecting to see that. I think it will be interesting to see what the quality of these displays is actually like on a released product. And also they're pretty much going for the Meta strategy by collaborating with other spectacle designers to deliver designs that people actually want to wear.
I believe it was Warby Parker and something is Gentle Monster. I've never heard of that before. I don't wear glasses though, so I don't know. So I mean, I think that is the right approach. Definitely collaborate with the companies and the people that make glasses for a living so that they can get all of the important things like the fit, the style, the comfort, and then integrate your tech. I mean, that's the way to go. I don't think I would want them to focus on all of those aspects. And plus, you know, like they said on stage, like they know what's more stylish and, you know, they have the ecosystem of glasses available and then you just bring the tech involved. I think that was the best thing that Facebook's ever done. The Meta Ray-Bans are so good, like you said. They're comfortable. They feel like regular glasses. And then they have these abilities, you know, that normal glasses just don't have. Mostly video capabilities. And then you got the assistant that you can use to like look at and identify things. But I think there's so much more that you can do. And it'll be interesting, like you said, to see how the visuals are actually appearing and how well they work and how crisp that is. I feel like Apple's always going to be better at that kind of thing. I don't know why. I just feel like the first iteration with Apple Vision Pro, the displays were so good that, you know, and we're still catching up with all the other headsets out there. So I want Apple to be on the forefront for some of these things for once. And it just feels like this is yet again another, all the things I read with the Google Gemini stuff and the Android XR, it's just like, well, Apple's pretty behind. So another just capability that they're not, you know, they're not reaching their full capabilities here in these departments. But hopefully one day we'll get to see these things. Is there anything else?
To that point with Apple, I think that, yes, it's very clear that Apple is quite behind, actually, with all of this. However, what we know based on what is in development is that it is working on all this stuff. So Apple is now working on its own smart glasses product, and it's using technology from AirPods. It's adapting Apple Watch chips to go in such a product. We know that it's working on a thinner and lighter Vision Pro. We know that Vision OS is being iterated on. And then in terms of AI, we know that Apple is now working on a completely from the ground up rebuilt version of Siri that is LLM based, and supposedly performs as well internally now as ChatGPT performs. So by the time it is released, it should be able to keep up with a lot of these advancements. It just hasn't been released. And it probably won't be this year. And that supposedly Apple executives are talking about actually creating a ChatGPT competitor that delivers that same kind of chatbot experience and really leveling all these things up. And I think that this has all come as a rude awakening to Apple. But 3 years from now, I think that probably Apple will be completely total parity with OpenAI and Google.
Yeah. I'm not going to count them out, but it's just like, and I understand that when we hear about these things, they're obviously they didn't just pick up, you know, the pen and the notepad and start jotting down the ideas for these products when it gets leaked out there that this is happening. They've probably been working on it for years, but it's just nice for optics sake to maybe be out in the forefront of like Apple's, you know, working on a product that, you know, that no one else has even like announced yet or have rumors of, you know. It just kind of seems like it's always like oh, Google has showcased how this works. And now we heard that Apple's doing the same thing, but Google actually has a product that they can showcase live that exists, that wasn't a mock-up that they made and put together and that nobody knew, you know,
Interesting in one of those related reports is that Apple has apparently now sworn internally that it will not show anything that is not ready to ship.
I would have hoped that would have been something that we all understood beforehand.
We could hope so, but I think
I'm sure all those developers are very happy.
I think it was, if it wasn't ready within 3 months, that they won't show
it anymore. That's fair. Listen, but, you know, and I joke about that, but like also, I don't know. I get excited about ideas. I would love to see these ideas, but then they should just at least say, this is a thought. This isn't even in development yet. This is where we're going, though. This is the future that we're trying to build. Like, we have this idea, but like, also, why would they do that? Then other people are going to try to, you know, copy and do the same thing of some sort.
Well, that also relates to what OpenAI is working on.
Well, now. That's what I was going to say. So you talked about them being in parity with OpenAI in 3 years, and that's great. But what about this whole new thing that we've got going on where, they might be on the same level as ChatGPT today in 3 years, but OpenAI and Johnny Ive just announced a nice little, OpenAI bought Johnny's company, correct? IO?
Yes. So this is an AI hardware startup founded by Johnny Ive. It also includes several former Apple designers that have been key. So obviously, Johnny Ive's known for designing the iPhone and the iPod and the iMac, these designs that have been incredibly influential. But there are also other designers like Mark Newson that helped design the Apple Watch. There's a significant number of former titanic Apple designers that are now on board. Hankey's
huge.
And they are now working on OpenAI's first hardware product. And a lot of people are saying, this is just going to be another Rabbit R1 or Humane AI pin. But I don't think it is. Because did the Rabbit R1 and Humane have one of the best AI services? No, and what OpenAI actually delivers with ChatGPT now is absolutely astonishing. And what's intriguing about these rumors now, we've heard a little bit more, is that it's not a pair of smart glasses. It's also not a smartphone. So what is it? And apparently it is being conceived of as a third device. So if you go back maybe 20 years, your key device was your computer. And that would have been your MacBook Pro on your desk. Then the iPhone came along as the next major product. And now you have two things that are essential. Other stuff like Apple Watch, AirPods, iPad, these aren't essential. These aren't things that you use anywhere near as much as those two that actually are life-changing products. Supposedly, this OpenAI hardware product is being conceived of as a third essential device, as something that complements your phone and your computer and sits alongside them, equally important and more important than these other peripheral devices.
So I'd argue that the Apple Watch is something that is probably the third in Apple's mind, right? That people use every day.
In Apple's mind, it probably is. But to the average person, you can also just wear a mechanical watch and keep fit and never touch an Apple Watch and it won't change your life. But having a computer that you can create on and do work on and actually do things for hours at a time has changed the planet. And the same goes with the iPhone. Supposedly, this product is like that.
I can't fathom what that even could be.
So it apparently is a little bit akin to like the iPod Shuffle that was worn around the neck. There is no screen. Because the idea that OpenAI have come up with is to actually move away from screen use, that OpenAI doesn't like the fact that the world has become very screen obsessed and is sucked into the world of screens. And so it is trying to imagine ways of computing that are not focused on that. And supposedly it's got cameras and microphones, so it has full situational awareness about what you're doing. But it isn't actually entirely clear. So it must integrate with your computer and your smartphone in some way. I don't know. But what is clear is that they are being incredibly secretive about it. They've pre-announced this to get people excited and presumably to steal some thunder away from Google this week as well.
Poor Google.
but what they are saying is that they want to keep this completely locked down because they want to get there before anyone else. If anyone else even has a sense of what they are working on, then they're going to have competitors for something that supposedly is going to, I think one of the quotes is to reimagine what it means to be a computer.
I mean,
and Johnny Ive's talking a really big game on this.
I'm going to be honest with you, though. I feel like this is going to be a failure. I'm just going to call it right now. I could be 100% wrong, and I don't even know what it is. But in my mind, I just feel there are 4.69 billion people who own a smartphone. Are you telling me now this is supposed to complement that, right? It's not going to replace, because there's so many people saying that this will replace the smartphone in the future and like that we won't need it. And if they're trying to get away from screens, you're going to tell me 4.69 billion people, they're probably not all smartphone obsessed. I know plenty of people who don't care too much. They use it as a tool, but a lot of people are glued in, like you said. And I agree with OpenAI. I would love for something like that. But you're also telling me that if it's like a companion to your MacBook and to your iPhone, and that it would relay information, let's say, to and from this, that you would, you know, what's the point? You're just, okay, you didn't put a screen on there, but I still got to go look at a screen to see that stuff.
Let's say that, and I'm just speculating now, I have no idea, but if it is something with multiple cameras and microphones, and you wear it around your neck, and it is taking in that information all day, every day. It's aware of every habit that you have. It's aware of everything that you like to do. It's aware of everyone you meet. What that could actually tell you and provide you is massive, because a phone can't really do that in the same way. A computer can't do that in the same way. And it starts to perform a bit of a different function. Now, that does lean into being a wearable. So it possibly isn't like that. But if it can take control of your computer, if I can just say to this device, if this device has its own AI-optimized processor that is able to communicate with ChatGPT's servers and store all of this information that it's gathering locally before uploading it, and then you can tell it to take actions for you, and it can actually do those things. Like already the ChatGPT is building integrations for things on the Mac that are pretty good. Like you can pretty much replace Spotlight with it. It can interact with things like Apple Notes. Imagine if you could just go to it and say, who I was having coffee with this morning, send them an email to thank them and remind me next week to follow up about that.
Sure.
Like it's something you can't really do with your phone. I don't know.
I think I can see what you mean, and I can see where it won't be a failure. Why I think it would be a failure is if it is something wearing that you got to wear around your neck, I just don't think people are going to do it. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care what it can do. I just feel like a lot of people aren't going to want to do that. Now, in my mind, what if it's like a little device that has different ways for it to be worn? Like it clips into a watch form factor. It clips into something around your neck. You know, it can be put in your pocket, let's just say, and can still be able to hear and process the information. And then when you need it to see something or someone, then you can take it out and put it on. I don't know. Like, I just feel like if it's something that I got to remember to put on my neck every single day, or like the pin,
I mean, I
just feel like that's a failure.
That the design is formalized, and clearly the design is going to be essential. That's why this is what Johnny Ive's working on. He's not working on the technology itself.
It's got to be somewhere along.
He's working on
Sam Altman say that he just got one?
Yes, and Johnny Ive also apparently has one. He's really talking it up. He says that he's living with it. He describes it as this transformative technology that stands apart from legacy products. And it almost made me feel like this is the person that gave us these legendary designs and had faith in these other products. So we have no reason to doubt what Johnny Ive says about this, because the last time Johnny Ive was saying this stuff, it was about the Apple Watch, it was about AirPods, it was about the iPhone, and now he's saying it about something else. And yes, he's being paid for it, but he wasn't wrong when he said it the first time, so we shouldn't disbelieve him now. I'm on board for whatever this may be, not least because what ChatGPT offers is, I think, the most transformative technological innovation that there has been probably since the smartphone already.
Listen, I'm certainly open to trying it. And obviously, when you're pairing ChatGPT, something that's blowing away a lot of the competitors, or at least, you know, inspiring a lot of this innovation for a chatbot, and has done so well and has this capability and is not even at the brink of what they can do yet. And then you couple it with what you said with Johnny, who's just been, you know, at the forefront of a lot of the products that we, you know, use today. I mean, I've got the rabbit, I've got the pin, you know, if I went with these, I'm going to try that for sure. But like in my mind, I don't want to be negative about it. That's not usually my personality, but like, I don't know. It's maybe because of the video. The video pissed me off. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, first off, I will say that video, super well done. One of the best shot videos I've ever seen. Made me watch all 9 minutes of two guys talking a lot about nothing. Like, it was just going back and forth about something huge without saying anything. So that's what kind of pissed me off. I'm like, could you just tell us a little bit about what you're talking about? Don't just hype it up and then just like, all right, see you later. That was a great cup of coffee for 9 minutes. But I don't know. If it's anywhere as good as that video was, then hey, like the quality was really well done. People think that video is AI generated. And I'm like, I think it's just what a good video is. Okay. Like, it's just a good video. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying not to be pessimistic, but I have a hard time thinking that if it's not meant to replace these devices, but be a companion alongside it, work with your MacBook, work with your iPhone, and like give you endless amounts of information of things that you've done throughout the day. You think about people who have trouble remembering things. That is if they can remember to like that they have this device that can do it, like that could really solve a lot of problems. I have family members with, you know, illnesses that affect their memories. And like, if there's tools out there that can really help and then like do all of these things, these mundane things that you maybe don't have time for or can't remember to do. And, you know, even if I run into a bunch of people all the time, like, hey, who is that guy that, you know, I talked, isn't that like the whole Apple commercial that we had, about, yeah, it's kind of like, we kind of have some of these things in app forms, but like, they're not there yet.
I completely agree. I think it will be fascinating. It's a sink or swim product, really. But if they manage to do it, if actually they can deliver what they say they're going to deliver, I think things are going to change considerably. And if there's anything that's going to put Apple on the back foot, it would be developing an actual, right now, look at it this way. All of these AI services are still very dependent on Apple hardware, and they're not going to stop me buying anything. I'm still going to buy my iPhone and my Mac. The minute a company actually is making me buy something that is a physical product, Apple should be worried. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, these companies have,
but not, I mean, like,
make me buy it
on a mass scale. Like, if OpenAI, I think OpenAI, yeah, one of the things is about that they're looking to ship 100 million units.
Yeah, that's a lot
after a year. So if they can do things like that, if they actually iterate on this product, they release two or three versions of it, and we start to see these out in the real world because they're that good. Things actually do start to change because of it. We are entering a completely different era, and Apple starts to look like a very good computer company and a very good phone company, but not a company that is focused on the latest innovation. So we'll see. It's exciting.
It is exciting. It'll be interesting to see. I'm just really AI'd out right now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so sick of all of this that apparently WWDC might have a little bit of a backseat with a lot of the AI stuff, at least Siri. Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't know. A lot of people saw that as a negative, which I'm sure it is, but I am just kind of feeling refreshed about that. Show me the new design of iOS 19. Show me the iPad OS. That's apparently supposed to be more Mac OS like. Still not sure about that. Show me some of these new features about the products that I already know and love. And let's just take like a month off of AI, please. Just a little bit. I don't know. I know people love this stuff. So I would love to hear from you in the comments. Let us know. By the way, WWDC, we already knew everything about it, but the invites officially went out. So we got a little bit more information, but I don't think it's anything that'll affect you guys. Just keynote Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And June 9th, and we'll definitely have an episode, hopefully another special episode, you know, like we usually try to do. We'll try to get it out early that week, and we'll go from there. But yeah, we'll catch everybody in the next episode.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.